This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey, movie fans, this is Ryan Nilsson here. We're talking iTalk Movies, the new film, Art of Deception, with the director and stars, coming up next.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's iTalk Movie.
Hello, hello again, movie fans. This is another episode of iTalk Movies, and I am joined by director Richard Ryan and star Jackie Nova. We're talking their new film, Art of Deception, which has just come out and is available on Amazon Prime, Google Play, and oxfilms.us.com. You guys, so excited to be talking about your new film. Congratulations, first and foremost.
Thank you very much.
It was a long run. I just wanted to get right into it. What was the early production of this? When did it start? When was the initial idea?
I have to... I don't mean to correct you, but I have to correct you. It's oxfilms.us.
.us.
Yeah, and then you can see all the available platforms on there because there's a lot of them.
Oh, thank you for correcting that. I really appreciate it. We're so excited to be talking about the film.
4 years.
4 years in the making.
From concept to completion, correct?
Yes, yeah. Ryan.
Wow, I've seen it twice, and the effort is so there. It is quite a triumph.
Thank you very much.
To complete any type of short film, much less a feature film. It's so impressive, y'all. But I just wanted to get into you guys. I mean, Jackie, you're a fellow host here.
Yes, indeed.
You're on El Secreto de Selena after show.
El Secreto de Selena.
That's how we became affiliated. And we met Richard at a few of our... events we've held here at AfterBuzz, and this whole time you've been talking about how excited you are about this new film, Art of Deception.
Yeah.
So, are you're happy? It's out.
Oh my God! Can we just say? I mean, I'm put a seatbelt on me because I am so freaking pumped. He's pumped. I'm pumped. We just got our DVD copy yesterday.
Wow!
Is this not incredible?
It just came in the mail.
It just came in the mail. Yes. So get your copies. We're so excited. It's just. From the moment that we had the concept 4 years ago to the pre-production, to the production, to the post-production, which was the hardest, this was just
we'll get into that for sure.
Yeah, incredible.
How are you feeling, Richard? You're on cloud nine?
Yeah,
excited it's out?
Yeah, I feel really excited that it's out right now, and I just feel grateful and appreciative that that a lot of people, that everybody gets to see it at this point. I know it's doing really well overseas. We've sold it to 10 territories abroad. Yeah. But I know it has been one heck of a process, and a lot of people throughout say, when is this movie going to get out? When is this movie going to get out? Is it true? Are you guys making this up? But, like, results speak louder than anything. So it's a huge stress relief, and we not only do it for ourselves, but we take pride and great honor for doing it and keeping it going, the momentum and all that. So for everybody involved in the project, every single person who has believed in us from day one and believe in us now, they didn't have to be a part of it, but they are. So we want to open up the doors for everybody who was involved to create more opportunities for them career-wise, life-wise, and to provide to society and loved ones and let the good times roll.
It's kind of like we have that concept, like Tyler Perry's concept, that he just wanted to have this dream come true so he can open doors for other people. That's really how our mindset is. We want to keep creating so that we can involve more people in the process so that they can also have other opportunities.
Awesome. And well, just for people who aren't maybe not familiar with the film, could Richard just give a brief synopsis of the plot, like a log line, just describing what the movie's about?
Yeah, absolutely. So the CIA, they create a chip and a virus to obtain complete mind control over the entire world. And I find out the truth. I'm working within. And when I find out the truth, I flee with the chip. So all the CIA agents come after me. There's a bunch of great fight scenes in there. And for me to be lured in, they kidnap my wife, Valentina Markham, and they torture her. And ultimately, I'm left with the decision, do I save the lives of billions or the life of my wife? So that's the predicament.
And you kept saying you played Joseph Markham in the film, and Jackie, you play Valentina Markham, married in the film and couple real life.
Absolutely.
We are a couple real life.
Tremendous. Yes. So, and that's, it's a great synopsis, classic action movie.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Kind of set up there. Really fun. Yeah. So I just wanted to actually talk about some of the pre-production. You said 4 years. Yes. I mean, that's a lifetime, really, to make a movie.
Yeah.
And it must just feel great when you finally have it released. I just wanted to talk about the initial idea. Where did the initial idea for that story come from?
Yes, so I wrote a treatment several years ago based off of one of my 14 short films, and Jackie and I met. We met on set, and then we made a short film together.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and then I made two feature films beforehand, and worked a lot. And Jackie's worked a lot too. So we figure like we're two forces that should join together and make this movie, Art of Deception. It was actually originally something else. But
a different title, you mean?
A different title, yeah.
Okay, you're something else.
No.
It was a different title,
yeah, but right. It sort of evolved into a better title, Art of Deception. It was a working title. But anyway, I got my writer on board who's...
Michael Marson.
Yeah, Michael Marson, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Who's helped me co-written my last two feature films. And in about a month, we had a great script and polished, and we started the pre-production phase. And basically, we broke down the entire script, and then once a month we shot and then edited it, and we continued that over 2 years, and we had to finance along the way with our own money through credit cards, through jobs,
through commercials, residuals, anything that came in. We were like, okay, cool, we have this now for this weekend. Mm-hmm. We can do this.
Just bearing down, indie.
Bare bones. Exactly. We had mm-hmm. favors from other people. They were like, oh, we have a mansion. Sure, you could use it.
You got to chop down a bunch of costs.
Yeah, big time.
I mean, that's what Kevin Smith did, you know, indie director with Clerks. He was just maxing out his credit cards to just get that film made.
Yes.
Exactly.
And we just
because you believe within
Comic-Con.
Yourself and you know it's going to come through. So like, why not?
Yeah.
That's so like awesome, that. Guys.
And then we continued that model for 2 years. And then we basically had a rough cut. So we went in there and then did some pickup shots and then assembled a strong post-production team for sound. Patrick Girardi.
Oh, he's amazing.
Look him up. He's legendary. Yeah. Mohamed Chouar from Egypt and a couple of other visual effects artists from abroad. And then Simone Cilio from Italy, award-winning composer.
A ton of help.
Did an amazing job.
A ton of help. And a lot of the people from overseas,
guy from Amsterdam.
We found on Craigslist.
Wow, there
true
you go.
True indie style.
True indie, just getting the connection wherever you can.
Absolutely, please do. That's something to think about because there's a lot of talent out there around the world, and that's such a great, empowering, place where we are technological-wise and mm-hmm. social-wise to be able to reach to people from across the world who want to work on those Hollywood films. Magnificent work. Reduce costs, because when you have an indie budget, you have to be creative and assemble a powerhouse mm-hmm. team. But we have this team now moving forward forever. And then, well, yeah.
I was going to talk on that real quick. The concept, the story of this movie is high concept with, I mean, you got the CIA involved.
Oh,
you got
yeah.
a lot of
great timing
facilities.
For that. Yeah.
For a film that is, you know, it's a smaller budget to conquer such these, yeah. these big themes. It's really interesting how you use that budget to portray that mm-hmm. and make it and just, you know, maybe infer more people than there actually were. And just it's really impressive how you guys were able to do that.
I wanted to actually tell you, Ryan, his family, he comes from a military background, so he has a lot of family members that are sort of within that world.
Wow.
So,
firsthand.
Yeah, mm-hmm. firsthand. Yeah. So yeah. they really, like, read the script, and there was a little
research.
The research is so important, yeah.
Yeah, we exactly. wanted to do it justice.
Incredible.
Absolutely, yeah. we did. Especially when it comes to also down to the locations. The locations in the CIA offices. So you want that nice plush wood grain. It's all in the details. Yeah. And then, so after we finished the movie, we screened it originally at Sony Pictures. And wow. then we had a limited theatrical release at Landmark Region Theater, and people
oh, no
came
way.
Out.
Yeah,
it was
oh, cool.
amazing.
Yeah.
And then, like, screenings throughout, and we made little tweaks and adjustments here and there. Our post team is so incredible that mm. they dealt with our little tweaks along the way.
Then we went to American Film Market.
Yes,
and
American
that's
Film
how
Market.
We started really getting connections with distributors.
Wow,
yes.
that's the place to be, people. If yes. you want distributors to take a look at your stuff. Go to American Film
It's one
market.
Thing to complete the film, but now it's like, okay, we got to get people to
right.
see it. So,
right.
And that's a whole other process in
exactly.
and of itself.
Exactly. Because I have to mention it, there's a lot of good films out there, a lot. But I feel like it's good education for filmmakers to go to American Film Market at least a day or smooge and after parties, whatever, November mm-hmm. 6th through the 13th. But because the reality is there's like 6,000 movies under one roof of 400 companies in their sales and acquisitions departments are setting up meetings with the buyers from all across the world. But like some companies have like 400 films in their catalog, 300, some 30, some smaller. But like we wanted to go there and go there for the week and literally go to every single suite.
Wow.
Because at the Lowe's Hotel, at all these film markets are set up, it's in a hotel, and the sales and acquisitions department, each company, Lionsgate's even there, A24, a lot of great companies.
We met a lot of people.
They have their catalog films, and we wanted to go to every single one of them and feel everybody out and research, do our due diligence, because it is a very crucial part of the process.
So when you're doing,
you want
that,
to get it out and get the proper distribution strategy and the right sales team.
Is at that point, are you already locked? You already have your final cut, or are you still making tweaks when you're making these transactions and meeting these new people?
At that point, we had basically locked. A final cut.
You had a final cut.
Yeah.
So it was locked.
It was
picture
locked.
Got
yeah.
it.
Yeah, the picture was locked. A couple little tweaks here
but
and there.
But it's not saying that people can't go to the American Film Market and not have, like, you don't have to have it fully
you know,
picture locked.
Right. In, yeah. Even in development phases, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. yeah.
So I want to ask another question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know
right.
how many bones are in the human body?
That's
206.
206.
And I know how to break every one of them.
Nice.
Great
nice.
Quote in that film.
Thank you so
Love
much
it
for
so
that.
Much. I know. I got it. But yes, that was great. So
wonderful.
I just wanted to talk about now, like, getting into the film itself. You know, there's a lot of classic action films out there. I was wondering if there were any that you drew maybe some inspiration or had some influence on this film. Is there any of your favorite action movies that maybe inspired you for certain aspects or plot points in this film?
I love James Bond, and I love the Jason Bournes, which was kind of crazy because some of the people that were interviewed at the Sony premiere that we had were the movies they were kind of saying that this reminded them of.
Mm.
But like, I love those type of action films. And how about you?
I feel like since I was a little munchkin, I've always been watching Alfred Hitchcock and Tarantino. And
well, Tarantino's definitely his favorite.
That's your guy.
Yeah, yeah. And exactly. And then even the beginning of short films, like I started making short films, I've always thought like, all right, let me portray this idea, whether it be like something I want to make the sort of overall topic of the movie, like greed and or karma or whatever it is. And then I feel like action, a lot of people can relate to action, and I love like martial arts and, and fight scenes. So I integrated a lot of that and just my athletics. So I think like there's always a hint of action or like thriller and suspense with the action genre. But I feel like those are good combinations because like it's an action suspense thriller story driven, because a lot of times like you get these action films or a lot of them are great, but they lack story. But this one, there's a story. There's love, there's suspense, deception, the thriller, the timing with the government conspiracy, entering the chip into the brain.
Right.
A lot of people feel that's real, so it's, I feel,
it's paranoia a little bit.
Paranoia.
Yeah, you're going to, like, the government, Big Brother, always looking at.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Actually, one of the guy that plays his brother mentions Big Brother within the scene.
Yeah. Well, we changed it to government.
But it really was supposed to be.
It was
like,
supposed to be Big Brother. No, because we didn't want people. I mean, I don't know. I think some people might not know the term Big Brother. I just didn't want to lose people in that.
Obviously, 1984.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. That's interesting though, and I mean, there's some awesome nods. I feel like to Mission Impossible in a few moments with some flesh masks and some fun. I was really into that. I thought that was really
that
fun.
Wasn't the original intention, but like as Jackie mentioned, a lot of people are saying Mission Impossible and even Bourne Identity. So I feel like people are mentioning those films. Maybe subconsciously has something to do with it. We're super grateful that they're mentioning.
Super grateful.
Are there certain qualities of an action film in general that you think can make or break the movie? Like, what are a certain aspect that you think in nowadays action films? Like, what sets you off? Where you're like, oh man, you get angry at a movie. Is there a certain aspect that you?
That's a great question.
That is a great question.
I feel that if they're action scenes are not like really tight and more realistic. Like,
it's realism. Okay.
Yeah, the realism. Like, when we were fighting, we were actually fighting. I think that the poor Slater Bad, like, when I got him on a chokehold thing.
This is the boxing scene?
This is when I picked myself up. I got him on the chokehold.
Right.
Like, he was almost out of breath. We almost had to call 911. I said, oh my God, we are such method actors.
He had a throat thing when he was younger, too. So,
yeah.
But he stuck in there.
He had Leon Van Wah, who plays, you know, he was bleeding.
Whoa.
Because it is not on purpose.
He bumped
his
head into the camera.
Well, you just get so into it so realism is very important.
Yeah.
And also the editing, the way they edit fight scenes, because if it's not quick, you notice nowadays things are quick.
Mm.
And if it's not quick, it loses the audience.
And you get a little drawn out.
Yeah, it gets drawn out.
One thing I would have to say, and I keep through all my fight scenes in this one too, a lot of things, a lot of times when people are like in the editing where the scenes are edited too quick when it comes to the fight scenes, that really like irks me because like all you see is the edit. Mm. All you
like
see is edit.
Too quick.
Yeah, too quick.
It can't be slow, but
so
it,
you don't, you
know?
So you don't
timing.
See, so you don't see the realism of the fights and the connections and stuff. But I want it to be, I like films to have, like in how we did Art of Deception in all my movies where you see the, you don't see too, like, the edits aren't that quick.
Right, that's what
and
I was going to ask.
You see some over the longer takes, and then because you see that personable fight to fight, like, emotions of the people, then you actually see the, oh, geez, these people are actually going through the motions and fighting and all that, which is great. And then, of course, like, if you're going to have explosions, make sure it's real. Don't, like, if you're going to have visual effects, Make sure it's real and not cheesy.
Explosions, but you better have a really great.
Well, if you have the budget, do it practical. Yeah.
I was going to ask, like, what are the qualities that make a film great? What make these action films as good as they are? And you say it's the realism, it's the believability.
Yeah.
In a lot of the action fighting explosions.
Yeah.
So if you can go practical is what you're saying.
Yeah. If you can, if you have the budget, but not necessarily, there's some times where like you can't, but just as long as everything looks real, like the visual effects look real, but not like too much, because again, you still want to see the story, you still want the actors to be acting, you want to see these people having those emotions and living through the scenes, And the fighting scenes, the explosion, just overall in any film, like the believability, the production value to be there as far as like the right locations, the right wardrobe, make sure post-production you go through it like it's no joke and make sure everything technically it's great, because at this day and age there's so much great stuff out there.
And great stuff. Yeah.
You just mentioned locations. You know, there's a few beautiful locations in this movie, especially one in the snow. I think we even have a few pictures of it.
A
sequence. Yep. Sort of like a bit of a dream sequence in a way.
Lake Tahoe, people. And let me tell you, he's been going to Lake Tahoe since he was in the belly. That's forever he's been going to Lake Tahoe. So this was a dream of Richard's.
I've envisioned
to have our movie also be shot in Lake Tahoe. He really visualized
it. So what was the, the reasoning, or I guess the inspiration to shoot this sequence there? In the snow. It was a beautifully shot sequence with you on the bridge, and then also when you're just walking in the field, the snow field. What was the reasoning behind choosing that location for that?
It was interesting how it all came about. I love shooting dreams sequences because, like, you get into the mind in sort of a psychological aspect, and you could make it sort of however you want that's not real to the
He loves,
you know, scene or
twist,
whatever.
And he loves
so
getting into the mind.
In this scene, I remember saying to the writer, I was just like, I want to have a dream sequence in the snow. And I just, in Lake Tahoe, and I was walking
Lake Tahoe.
The writer through the scene, basically, and it just, I envisioned it first, and then how we executed it, we shot it. Like in Tahoe, there was like 4 years where there was not any snow up there at all. So we shot at the green screen stage to begin with, but then the production continued going on. We're like, oh my gosh, it snowed. It's finally snowing.
He looked at me and he was just like, so we're doing the dream sequence again.
Again.
And I was just kind of like, what? But we just did it on green screen and we bought all this snow from Snow Business. Is like every...
We used one shot from
the stage. We just used one shot from there and that was it. But so we did go up to Lake Tahoe and we did it. It just had to be done. When I saw it for myself, it was just like... I felt like I was in a fairy tale.
It was picturesque, and that's what I imagined too, because we even shot the dock scene the original first time. It was super sunny. There was no snow or anything. But originally in my mind, I was just like, no, we got to scrap this whole thing. I envisioned very clearly in my mind where I wanted meadow of snow in the dock, but the snow being like picturesque, sunny, then the dock having like very misty and dreary.
So that you understand exactly that it was a 2-day shoot. Saturday was sunny, perfect. It was incredible. And it was actually not that cold out.
Really?
In Lake Tahoe. And then, like Richard kept saying to all of us, the next day when we shoot, which is going to be on the dock and it's going to get dreary and it's going to be storms. And I'm going, what are you, like the weatherman or something?
And we got that.
Because that's not what the weather was saying, but that is what we got.
It's what the predicting. Yeah.
God was with us.
It really was, because it snowed 2 months prior to the scene, so we had this plush, fluffy snow, and then like there was only a break of 2 days, and those were the 2 days we were planning to shoot. And then the next day, the storm was coming in, and we had to drive a half an hour as the storm was coming in. And
as it was saying on the radio. Weather advisory, you all need to get out of the road.
So you had a warning of not going,
but we still went.
Yeah,
and we
got to get the shots. This is perfect.
And we have behind the scenes footage, 2 hours of it here, of the making of
Art
of Deception.
So you have a little doc on there.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, definitely need to check that out. So it's on the DVD.
It's on the DVD.
Terrific. Yeah, well, there you go. We have a reason to get it.
We have the two red carpets and 55 minutes, because I think it's important, the process of in what filmmakers go through, especially on the independent level, putting it all together.
Yeah.
You just mentioned red carpets, so I know we're kind of going pre-production, during, just talking about, you know, the first carpet, the first premiere, like, what were you most excited about? Like, were you just excited to hear people's thoughts on it, just people to see it in general? Was there a certain thing you wanted people to react to? What was going through your mind?
In my mind, I just was super excited that we had such a packed house at Sony that they had to bring in chairs, and then they were like, don't tell security. We're like overly, like, there's just wall-to-wall people.
Wow.
And then the reaction really was what I was just, I just wanted truth. I just wanted to know what people were thinking. And I was just like, please let us know, because nobody's perfect, and we just love what we do, and we want to, you know, everyone to enjoy it. That was what was going through my mind, which was thrilling being on that red carpet.
It was great. Because
it was like Sony, so it was like so cool.
Sony,
There's a lot of history there. It was great seeing everybody come together and watch it and finally get to enjoy it. We've heard it screened in like smaller theaters, but being able to just really get the whole experience with the colors popping at maximum resolution and the sound, 5.1 surround sound. So we were hearing sounds we never heard before, and it was just incredible.
Wow.
I was crying at the end because I was like,
oh, it's such a good accomplishment. I mean, you're watching your film at Sony. That's such an amazing moment.
Yeah, we were enjoying ourselves, but at that time we were still like, all right, we still have some more work to do to get it out there, because we want the whole world to see it.
So you're still, that's interesting. So you're still learning, like, okay, we need to make these few adjustments.
He literally had like a couple of notes, and he was just like, okay, oh wow,
we gotta get in there.
This little thing well, this is so very nitpicky, and thank God for that, because
you have to be, success is all in the details.
Well, after 4 years, I mean, people are constantly talking about, you know, sometimes you need to step away from the film because you can't really see it with clean eyes anymore. You kind of need to hear other people's reactions to it, or maybe see it with other people watching it. Uh-huh. So that's just interesting that this premiere at Sony, or this red carpet at Sony, that you've got even more ideas leaving that.
From more people, too.
Right, more people.
Yeah, so we had it.
Ryan, before we even had it up at Sony, we had it in, what is that?
Camera Division.
Yep. We had screenings at Camera Division.
That was our first screening.
Yeah, and it's really cool theater, but it's a camera shop.
Yeah, we rented all of our equipment there.
All our equipment from Camera Division. Yeah. So that was pretty cool, because we just kept having like small 10 people privately.
And then we build it little by little.
Then we build it. Then we're like, okay, it's ready for Sony. Yeah,
nice. Like a house, like a building.
Like a building, yeah.
The foundation has to be rock solid. And then
cannot be built on sand.
No.
No, you're not.
Right.
And you got to dig down deep to get that solid foundation to build up. Dig deep, exactly.
Baby.
So going back into just some of the more the action aspects of this, ton of action in this film, a lot of fighting, choreography. I'm just curious, did you guys need to go through any training? I mean, with that opening scene we have, one of the opening scenes, there's a bat involved. We got some props. You guys are boxing in one moment. Yeah. Was there any type of training, do you have experience with martial arts?
We both do. We're both athletes. Yeah. He's really like quite the athlete and a choreographer for fight scenes as well as Daniel Ju. Thank you for your expertise.
Yeah, Daniel Ju was our fight choreographer.
He was the choreographer. Okay.
Yeah. We've collaborated. I mean, we've been working together for about 12 years. So we collaborated together on these fight scenes and making it. It turned out really well.
Yeah, it turned out really well. I mean, and talking about how, like, we're both athletes. I mean, he's an incredible athlete. So he can just pull off all kinds of stunts.
Some of the boxing.
Yeah,
right there.
No, he laughs when I punch him.
You're
I
love him.
I really am hitting him.
You really are hitting him. Wow.
I'm telling you.
And then there's a shot to the face he gets on like the left cheek that I was like, wow.
We are method actors that we are like full blown in it. I mean, we're so full blown in it that right now I'm actually training with WOW Women's of Wrestling. I'm one of the chosen ones to train with WOW Women's of Wrestling.
Congrats. That's awesome.
So yeah, that's really exciting.
Absolutely. And this scene is great. We never had we didn't have specific training leading up to, but like Jackie was mentioning, she and I both do martial arts and
some improvising.
And in that particular scene, it was part of like
it was all improvised.
You're good.
It was like a 20-hour day or something. So we started in L.A. We rented all the equipment. We drove 6 hours with our crew in the budget truck, and then we shot some scenes What was Frankie's?
Your dad's house.
Yeah,
which is Frankie's
my dad's house. Yeah, exactly.
All the houses were like up north. His family's house.
A lot of them. Yeah, and then we went up to Tahoe.
Again.
Well, there yeah, again, when it was sunny, when it was like during the spring or something, we rented, it was summer, when we rented the boat, that was a whole different
Oh, for the ending
time.
Scene.
For the ending scene.
Mm. With the boat, yeah. That's also right. Tahoe.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes. So we had our three camera people in there, then it was myself and Jackie doing the scene, and we got out there for like 4 or 5 hours on the crystal blue lake of Lake Tahoe, and then we were driving down for an hour and a half again to go to that location,
to the boxing location.
Yeah, but I was getting but like that was it, like you got to get your shots, you have to get your scenes, and we drove everybody up from LA to Sacramento. But as I was calling the owner, I couldn't get a hold of him.
Oh, really?
Or actually, I was calling the manager who was supposed to let us in, could not get a hold of him. So I'm like, okay, everybody's going to this location, we have to get these scenes. And then I finally, I'm like, wow, what the heck's going on here? Then I finally called the owner. The owner was in Ireland. So it was like,
it was crazy.
It was like 7 p.m. our time, like 3 in the morning, their time, whatever. I'm like, this is it. Like, we're going to be there in a half an hour.
They let us in.
Then he said, okay, let me call the manager and let us in. So we got up there. We did like a quick fight.
We didn't have anything choreographed for the fight, for the boxing
choreography. Yeah.
We just kind of winged it and did it.
And then we just did it. Yeah.
Wow.
And we were in there for like a few hours. Then we got all packed in, drove back down to LA. And it was funny because we had sort of like an inner rivalry. Yeah. Like, they were like,
oh, yeah.
You're too tired to drive the truck. And I'm like, no, we're not too tired to drive the truck.
Because it was the crew, and then it was Richard and I in another vehicle. And wow. They were just like, we're going to get to L.A. before you get
like,
to
no,
LA.
We rented the equipment. We're going to drive the truck. And then...
Yeah, so we drove
so we got in. We drove the truck. They drove their car. But
they
had to get to, like, class earlier or whatever.
Just to make the story.
Yeah.
We beat them.
Yeah.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, because I'm like, guys, follow me. We'll go down to... And, but they went a different way, and we got there, like, a half an hour before. So they were
it sounds like it was a fun vibe on set.
It was a fun... No, it was a fun vibe on set. We had fun along the way, and we were very focused. Our crew was amazing. Vishal Solanki from India, he's doing amazing cinematography.
DP, yeah.
Our DP, yeah, it's great.
Well, as a director, is that something you set out going into any shoot? Do you just how important is it to have a positive energy on set for the shoot?
Well, it's the most important thing, because if you think about it, it could be the best script ever. It could be the great hope and
right.
whatever the next biggest thing, but like people, the resources are one thing, but the people have to interact together nicely and all on the same page and keep the focus
great
and
energy.
Be able to go through the challenges and have the energy of positivity.
Right.
Last thing you want is to deal with, because there's always going to be problems that arrive organically through the process. Last thing you want is like difficult.
It's and yes
cancerous.
And. Yes. And he would pep up people. I would pep up people like a cheerleader. He would be like, all right, let's do push-ups. And we would like do a workout. Just to kind of get people like really, and then everybody
just
was pumped.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody was jazzed. Yeah. Like, because
we had 16-hour days, we had 20-hour days.
Right.
And
this film says sometimes I feel like, you know, I've been on a few.
You're a filmmaker.
I'm a filmmaker as well, and I feel you know, there's a it's that passion, it's having that excitement, that positive energy, but it's also I think establishing like a tone of maybe of respect in a way.
Yes.
Like we're all trying to accomplish the same goal.
All have to be on the same page.
All gotta be on the same page. We're committed. We're doing this. And if you know, it's setting that example.
Yes. You have to lead by example.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
definitely.
And then you have to have that leadership, that confidence. You have to do the research. You have to do the planning to a T. So when your crew looks at you, you're like, okay, this person's on point.
Mm.
This seems like a good project to be a part of, because there's a lot of great projects out there that finish, but they don't have that passion, that soul, that thing that, unless that you have like this well-oiled like multi-million-dollar budget,
right?
You need like a team with love and respect and are passionate about it, that keep it pushing through the marketing phase, through the sales phase, having everybody spread the word, get it out there, because little by little over time, people are gonna start like catching on and like, oh shoot, I remember.
So it's having that throughout. Movie.
Exactly. Yeah.
And there's great. There's long days on set. There's short days.
Yeah.
What was one of the more difficult or longer days on set? Like, what was, I think, the hardest day for this film?
Was when we had to have the science lab scene where you see Joseph Markham, right there, and he's focusing. You see that cool lab window. And
oh, definitely. It's when he's watching them discover that they have it.
Exactly. I think there's a photo of that. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. First of all, we had to create this lab look.
Really?
Out of nothing, out of nowhere.
Just and a basement.
Just basically that.
And wow. And it was upstairs in a building.
It was a cool building downtown, but it happened to be that there was this very nice Spanish guy finishing up some kind of work. He didn't know any English, so I started talking Spanish to him. I was like, con permiso. And then he was just like, so cool with me.
Nice.
And I said, we are making a movie. We need to do this scene. This is what we're visioning. Do you think you know how to do that? And he was just like, I absolutely know how to do that. Let's go to Home Depot.
In English.
I was like, what?
So he said, okay, get this supply. Get this supply. So
he went with us to Home Depot.
On the spot.
He got a couple of other guys that he knew, and we just, like, I just had to be there because, like, I had to translate. He didn't know any English at all.
Yeah.
And he was just like, and I want it like the, Richard's like drawing it on paper, like, this is how I want it to look.
And he's like, get these materials. Because
we were up 24 hours almost, and we still had to shoot, but it was perfect. Because it had to be an intense scene anyway, so...
Yeah, exactly.
It was great.
And we met him at nighttime, and then the next morning when we got to set...
The cast shows up, or...
The crew probably a couple hours beforehand, but he was building, I was painting, Jackie was doing a lot of work.
Wow.
And then we rented this equipment from Universal Prop Houses, there's this huge cabinet this big... Then, but the movers all were there also. So we're like, how the heck are we going to get this upstairs? And like, but
we had more people to help us.
Yeah, typically you want a location on the bottom so you don't have to, but the location,
it
happened to be on the top and for the price. And so like he puts this huge thing on his back. He's like carrying it up. And we're like, how the heck could we have done this
without this man's
help? Grace
of
the good Lord to help us out.
Yeah, so
it's a team effort.
It was a rough day, but it worked out.
It was rough. We actually, when we were done shooting that particular scene, we had more to shoot, but we were like, well, there's no way we're going to wake up if we go home.
Yeah, we might as well sleep on set.
We actually slept on set.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because it was a 20-hour day, and then we slept for a couple hours. We got up.
3 hours or something.
It was like not a turnaround time at all. That's ideal. But like I said, everybody got out of bed. They all believed in the project, what we're doing. And Vishal Solanki had a big help. Big hats off to you with that because as a great DP, he has his own gaffer, his own grip, his own core crew. So Vishal also whipped them into shape. Said, hey,
well, because he's from India, he knows how India people.
They have some harsh environments. Yeah, they get it done though. Hats off to. I worked on a Bollywood film once.
Yes,
or a few times.
Shout out to Bollywood.
Bollywood.
Yeah. That's great,
And Tollywood, too. Tollywood.
Tollywood.
Of course. It's so important to have that crew and that support system behind you when you're making a project
like
this.
Yeah, and when we shot there 3 days, and then we went to a garage that we were shooting at to shoot with the 1969 Stingray right here.
Ooh. Awesome scene, by the way. I thought you were going to hit him when you were driving up.
Oh, right? I mean... Geez, a couple of my family members, especially my dad, he's always thinking about, like, all right, and my mom and our family is just, all right, make sure you get all the equipment back safe in the car and the props and stuff. So I drove off. I came so close hitting that pillar. I mean, it looked like I got really close.
The pillar in that garage.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Because when I took off, if you notice, there was a pillar right there.
Right.
And I'm a darn near like stunt driver. Like, I mean low key. Like I'm
low key.
So I'm just like boom, real fast. Like
how close were you to him?
It was great. As far as like hitting him with the car.
Yeah.
I don't know. Pretty close though. Maybe come to think of it.
He seemed pretty spry.
Yeah, he was. They had words too before we shot that because he was just.
What
like,
is that conversation like? Just prepping. Do you, as a director, do you approach the actors in a scene like that? Where you're just like, hey, listen, we're, you know, like comfortability level. What are the conversations like that?
Yeah, it's sort of like, all right, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna be in a car. We just go through the motions. And is everybody comfortable? Is everything good? Because like we do a basic like, all right, here's the camera. Here's the blocking, and if everybody's all on the same page, great. And
he's a method actor as well. He's like,
he loves it.
Leon Van Wass.
Oh, Leon Van Wass.
So he was doing it the whole time.
Oh, he's
funny because if you get the DVD, you'll find the behind the scenes footage. And there was a moment a behind the scenes that you see
Roland
that,
Smith
that particular
yeah,
scene.
Yeah, Roland Smith.
And then like I was shouting at him and stuff like it, just sort of not you know
it's not that they were getting mad at each other but he had to really pump them up because he's a really nice guy.
Not in a way of like argumentative, but like all on the same
Smith
page,
is a really nice,
like a director to actor type of thing. Because also you have to, as a director and speaking to the actors and the crew and the cast, you have to understand who you're dealing with, and there's different personalities. So some things might work one way that some for one person that they're accepting to, and they'll get it, and then another person might. You might take another approach. But Leon, I really like him as an actor, like bringing him on. I feel like because he's originally from Amsterdam, I saw it, we met through social media. I said, this guy's the guy opposite of me because he's very method. He's very artsy. He's very like hardcore like. And then I knew like, so if I'm a little more boisterous, like he'll understand. It'll just do nothing but empower his being to just give all that he can in the scene, but it played well,
He had a really unique accent. I was curious about that throughout the film, but just a very awesome villain quality. He was reminding me a lot of, oh my goodness, I'm blanking on his name, but he's in Shape of Water. Michael Shannon. He was reminding me a lot of Michael Shannon.
Shape of Water is incredible.
Yeah, he had a very Michael Shannon vibe.
What up? Watch the movie.
That was great. And then, so we were talking, difficult days on set. What was the best day? What was one of your most favorite memories? I'm going to keep this away, file it, because that was a special day.
I want to say, like, there has been challenges on the set, but I never consider them, like, tough and like, grueling and stuff, because, like, I know Jack is the same way. We're so passionate and in love with the process.
Yeah.
I think... there's just so many of them, right?
That's a good answer.
If there's too many to count, that means it's a successful shoot. The snow scene,
those 3 days being in Tahoe.
It was magical. It was a very
family and our friends.
Smaller crew.
Yeah.
We kept it very small.
Lugging all the equipment through the snow, and it was just great. And how the weather shaped up exactly how we wanted it to.
It really was magical.
It was
magical.
Just very magical. And in the scene, like our supervising sound editor, Willie, great guy, he just sits back and says, "Oh, I haven't seen a scene like this before." And he's been in the game for like 40 years. He has a crazy amount of Emmys. So does our Patrick Girardi, but in a good way. And I imagined it though, like you got this, like the body of the snow, us being on the dock, the dreary coming in, and also, but the music, the sound design, and it just like, all of it just came as I envisioned it, and even better. So it was just great.
That was special.
It was magical.
Well, guys, it's a great film. I can't wait for other audiences to see it and give their reaction. Is there anything you want to tell audiences or people who haven't seen it, just pitching the film? What would you like them to get out of Art of Deception? Why they should see it?
Sure.
Yeah, real fast. Can I do a show and tell?
Oh,
let's
do the show and tell. So there's a security guard in this film.
Yes.
I think the character's name is Leroy.
Yeah.
Awesome. A few appearances and. Here with the box.
So he has his own line.
He's got his own shoe line.
Sneakers.
His own shoe line.
Sneakers.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, pull those out real quick.
Pull it out.
So we got, So these are his.
Yes, this is his. He's a professional bodybuilder. He also has his own book out, but PRC member, that's his line.
PRC.
That's his line.
Remember.
And then you could get it at aliveshoes.com. And then he also, aliveshoes.com. And then he also has a book you can get at Barnes & Noble's in Walmart. It's called Your Health.
Your Health.
Your Health is your wealth.
Your health
That's
is
right.
your wealth.
And it's true.
Amen
absolutely.
To that. So great looking box.
Yes, great looking box.
Where's the live
get
by?
Get your shoes and DVDs.
So any final thoughts? Just Art of Deception. Why should people go see it?
Yes, go ahead, baby.
Okay,
why should people go see Art of Deception? Well, not only because we're in it, it's a lot of action, it's a lot of fun.
Yes.
And everyone can watch it. I got to tell you, my nieces, which I told my brother, I was like, watch the movie first. and then see if you think it's cool for the little girls to watch it. Well, they're like 7-ish in that age range. And I'm like,
they're crying during the scene. They're like cringing because their tooth.
They were like, oh my goodness, they've watched it now 5 times. I'm not saying I'm encouraging little kids to watch it, but we've had little kids actually have gone to the movie theaters to watch it with their parents, and they come out like, we love this action movie, and oh my God, they go crazy over it. So I just think you guys are going to have a lot of fun.
I believe Art of Deception has everything. It has actions, has suspense, it has thriller, it has some gore moments, it has love and romance, it has government conspiracy. It's literally a film with that anybody that wants to, whatever they like in a movie, whatever somebody likes in the movie, I feel Art of Deception has, so go watch
it. Anyone can get something out of it. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. You can check it out. Again, it's on Prime, Google Play, and Oxford.us.
Well, if Oxford
Films.
If
you go to Oxfilms.us, you can see all the available platforms, selective Walmarts and Best Buys, Barnes & Nobles, Google Play, Vudu. Yeah. So there's a lot of them. My social media, Richard Ryan 7, Art of Deception, the movie, Ox Films Entertainment.
Mine is Jackie Nova 7, and already you guys have heard me here so many times at AfterBuzz. Yeah. Art of Deception. Go to oxfilms.us.
Enjoy the show. Great for stocking stuffers. Yes. You'll love it. Get your popcorn, get your licorice, kick back, and just enjoy the show and peace, love, and happiness.
Well, thank you so much for coming on again.
Brian, thank you so much.
It was a lot of fun. Check out Art of Deception. This was another episode of iTalk Movies. Again, I'm Ryan Nilsson. You can find me at @RyanNilsson_. Thank you so much for watching. Have an awesome rest of your day, y'all.
Thank you very much.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.